Chapter 2. Nia found it odd and exposing to have a front door that led straight into her living room. However, her visitor was completely unfazed and greeted her with a wide smile. It was Jade from the hairdresser's, and she was holding up a bottle of red wine. "A welcome to your new home present," Nia invited her in. "That's kind. Would you like a drink?" "Never say no. Glad I bought something decent now." Jade followed her in. Nia handed Jade a glass and they sat on separate armchairs. "Is this your nipper?" asked Jade, taking in the photo of a young woman on the dresser. Nia looked at her quizzically. "Nipper?" Jade laughed. "Nipper is an island word for children. You'll hear it a lot over here." "Your accent sounds almost West Country. Did your parents come from there?" "No, visitors or overners, that's another island word. They often think that. The island accent is a really soft burr." "I like it. Anyway, the nipper in that photo is my daughter Safi." "What does she do?" "She's travelling before going to university. She worked in a local supermarket, trying to save some money, and now has gone with her boyfriend, supposedly getting language experience in Spain, ready for doing her degree. I'm not sure how much she's learning. She seems to be having a very good time." "Lucky girl. I wish I'd gone travelling. I hardly get to the mainland, let alone abroad."
"And do you have a husband or partner at home?"
"Yes, he's the head teacher of our local high school. He's very busy." "Wow, that sounds stressful." "It is. So tell me, Jade, have you and your sister been at the salon long?" "Originally, Ruby and I both worked in Sandown after we did our hairdressing courses at the college. Ruby moved over here with Richie when they got married 6 years ago. He took over the gallery and she was working with another hairdresser here. When she left, Ruby asked me to join her. It's a good salon and I get the flat above." "Do you like living in Yarmouth?" "It's a bit dull in the winter, but I like the holiday season, meeting new people. Do you know the island?" "This is my first visit. I always meant to bring my daughter over to stay with Gwen, but we never got around to it. It's an interesting town. The streets are very narrow, aren't they? I've never lived in quite such close proximity to my neighbours before." "The houses are so close together, aren't they? Not much gets missed. If you're lucky, I'll be the first person you see in the morning and the last at night. I never shut my curtains, and because I go to bed much earlier than Gwen, we have a standing joke that I can tell what time she goes to bed because I see her light come on. It always wakes me up. But really, I do like it. I love being so close to people." Nia noticed Jade had finished her glass of wine and poured her another one. "So who else lives here?" she asked. "The longest residents are your neighbours, Lucy and Ian, next door. They're our island health gurus. Ian started out as an accountant, but moved on to being an advisor on the odd radio programme. He retired early, but now he's dead excited, as he and Lucy are making their name in health and fitness for the over-60s. They're on for a book deal and TV spot. I have to say, they both look amazing for their age. Next to them is White's, a brasserie place owned by Joe. He's Ruby's age. His parents set him up there. Then at the top of the close is the Vets, run by Ethan and Elvira, who are a couple now. Coming down the other side, Richie, Ruby's husband, works in the gallery and they live above it. Next to them is a second home that is empty most of the time, and then the salon with my flat above. That's it. It's a small community." Jade put her head to one side. "Are you planning to stay for the whole of Gwen's time away? She's going to be over there for a few months, isn't she?" "Oh, no. I told her I could do a few weeks. She'll either leave it empty or find someone else when I go." "So did you fancy a holiday?" Nia could see the curiosity in Jade's face. She'd prepared an explanation. "I needed a break." Nia paused, could see Jade was waiting for more. "I shall try and get fit," she added. "Read some worthy books, stop drinking." She smiled at the glass. "After this one, maybe. I'll go back a whole new me." "That's ambitious. As my daughter would say, I need to get my shit together." "By completely changing who you are?" Despite trying to keep it light, Nia suddenly felt close to tears. It was embarrassing. "We'd all like to do that, wouldn't we?" she replied. Sounds exhausting, said Jade, but then her tone changed.
You don't always have to be changing yourself, you know. You can learn to like yourself for who you are. I know that sounds a bit heavy, but, well, when you've been brought up in some scary religion, never feeling you could do anything right, you either go along with the idea you will never be good enough, or you fight it and try to like yourself for who you are.
Nia frowned. What religion was that? They are simply called the righteous, and they get together at the hall. It's very strict and isolated. The teachings are extremely dogmatic. That sounds the opposite of what a faith should be. I'm not religious, but Gwen is. She finds going to church a great comfort.
I know, I think normal churches are, but that's not what our place was like. Anyway, I left, thank God, and so did Ruby's husband, Richie. He was brought up there as well.
Ruby has kept going, unfortunately.
Nia bit her lip.
Gwen mentioned Ruby to me. I think she was a bit worried about her.
Yes, she talked to me about it, but I probably knew less than her. Gwen was one of the few people to get close to Ruby.
Gwen told me she spent a lot of time with your mum, and I got the impression she became very close to Ruby during that time. She told me Ruby would have made a wonderful nurse.
Jade grimaced.
You're right. I'm afraid I was pretty useless in the last few months of Mum's life. She was bedbound, and every time I went in, I just started crying. Ruby was brilliant. She moved in with her, sat up all night. I don't know quite how she did it. We had nurses come in sometimes, and then, of course, Gwen stepped in. Between them, they took such care of Mum. I am really grateful.
I'm sure Gwen was only glad to help. She's one of those natural caregivers.
She is. She's quietly helped a lot of people in the close. She's a kind of mother hen to us all. And, as I say, even Ruby turned to her.
But Ruby hasn't confided in her lately. Since Mum died, Ruby has gone even more into herself. Losing a mum affects us all in different ways, doesn't it?
Yes, I agree. I lost my mum a few years ago. It's very hard.
It is.
They looked at each other, but neither spoke, choosing to keep their pain to themselves. They both knew that grief for someone so loved was precious and not something to be spoken of lightly. Jade, in an apparent complete change of subject, asked,
Do you like swimming in the sea?
The sea? I've not been in the sea for years, and then it was only paddling with my daughter.
You must come with me one morning. I go when I can.
I don't know. I'll think about it.
Jade stood up.
I'll let you settle in.
She looked closely at Nia.
It's good to have you here. Take care.
She paused and laughed self-consciously.
Sorry, I don't know why I said that. Things have been a bit weird lately, a kind of sinister undercurrent, if you know what I mean.
She laughed, but it was forced and overloud.
Sorry, too much wine. Now, come along to White's tomorrow evening. We all go about 6:30, and it will give you a chance to meet everyone. Of course, Gwen always brought along some cakes. No pressure, though.
Nia went with Jade to the door, glanced out at the close. Jade's words had been unsettling. She didn't believe it was just the wine speaking. Could it really be true that things weren't quite as idyllic here as first appeared?
Later that evening, Nia took Romeo out for a final walk. The streets were quiet now, with light from the pubs, but few people wandering around. In the distance, she could see the lights of the mainland, a vast dark sea stretching between them. On either side of the entrance to the pier were small shingle beaches, and Nia took Romeo down. Back in Cardiff, she realised, she'd stopped walking anywhere alone at night. Her final words to her daughter whenever she'd gone out at night had been to ring her or get a taxi home. And yet, standing here, she felt no fear. She'd forgotten how much she loved being by the sea. Slowly she found her breathing sinking with the waves, coming and going as if they were healing her in a way all the mindfulness CDs and videos never had. She was confused about so many things, but one thing was certain. At that moment, she was glad to be here, and glad to be here alone. Before she left, she took a photo, which she sent to Safi and Chris with the message, I'm on the island. Later that night, she went up to her room, she decided Romeo could sleep on a cushion next to her. She had a quick chat with Chris to say goodnight and then went to shut the curtains. To her surprise, she saw Jade opposite, waving at her. Nia smiled and waved back. What could have felt intrusive was actually a comfort. Her window was open and she could smell the remnants of chips from the pubs, sense the cold sea air, the sky now black, the stars bright. She heard the heartbeat of the waves, quietly lapping in the distance. The hint of a warning earlier from Jade made no sense now.